reading this in the Daily Devotional, and it reads this way. When American author O. Henry, not the candy bar, wrote his beloved 1905 Christmas story, The Gift of the Magi, he was struggling to rebound from personal troubles. Still, he penned an inspiring story that highlighted a beautiful Christ-like character trait, sacrifice, the title. And in the story, an impoverished wife sells her beautiful long hair on Christmas Eve to buy a gold chain for the pocket watch of her husband. Now, as she learns later, however, her husband had sold his pocket watch to buy a set of combs for her beautiful hair. The greatest gift to each other, sacrifice. From each, the gesture showed great love. In that way, the story represents the loving gifts that the Magi, the wise men, gave to Christ's child after his birth. In our daily lives, believers in Christ can highlight his greatest gift by offering to others the sacrifice of our time, treasures, and temperament that all speak of love. As the Apostle Paul wrote, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. There's no better gift than sacrificing for others through Jesus' love. We sang a song, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. But light of the world, you step down into darkness. This world without Christ is very dark. It's becoming unraveled more and more every day. But when you have the hope of Christ, when you know that this is not the end of the story, and we're all going to come to the end one day, it's where you go afterwards. It's like you go to a restaurant, a fancy restaurant, and you didn't make reservations. They say, okay, what's your name? You say, John Doe from Idaho. They say, I see no John Doe. You can't get in here. There has to be a reservation made. And that's how it is in heaven. You see, we know one day we're going to die, but have you made a reservation? That's so important. Light of the world came down into darkness. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I mean, the glories of God in heaven, it's immeasurable. Can you measure the universe? Can you count the stars? The glory of God who made all of that, he's not limited to that. He poof, and it came out. He didn't have to, but because of his great love for us, to see that we were in such a wretched state. And the sad part is, before you come to Christ, you don't think you're that bad. You don't think that you're going to hell. You don't think you're that rich. Oh, the guy, maybe he needs the Lord, but I don't. But you see, we're all sinners. We're all born, and it's that word, original sin. You all, why? Now, here's the truth of that. You know why we die? The Bible says clearly we die because of sin. When you're born with sin, you're going to die. Sin is in the babies. That's why babies die. Sin is in old people. That's why old people die. Middle age, whatever it is, we all die. But the virus is sin. Christ came to wash that away, to cleanse you of that sin so that you don't die. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to live like this forever? Am I a vampire or something? No. You're going to live forever in heaven. Jesus said, though you die, yet you will live. And if you live, you don't die. So how does that work? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you die and you believe in me, you just get transported. The soul that is in this body checks out. You ever step, when you go into a car, you don't live in that car. You check out. You open the door and you leave. That's how it is when you're going to die. Your soul and your spirit is going to check out of this car, and it's going to go to God. And God then will say, okay, is your name written in the reservation here? Let me see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I gave you opportunity. So Christ became poor, born in a manger, but poor in what sense? Not only in the physical sense, he became a servant, but more in this sense. He took on our sins. Story is, when he was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He became sin then. And then he gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's important. No one took his life because he was sinless, you see. Now, if he sinned, he would have died like everyone else. But because he never sinned, he had to give up his spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He said, no one takes my life. No one could because he never sinned. Isn't that beautiful? But because we sinned, we all die. But Jesus was able to give up his spirit for your sake and my sake. It tells us this in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking about Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took on a body. He was always the triune God. But the time came when he had to be like a human. He was both man. There's a mystery involved there. It's called hypostatic union. Big word, I know. But it means both are equally true. He's 100% God, and he's 100% man, and it's in there. Don't ask me how it works, just as much as I don't know how eternity works or how the triune God works. But it's there. He's a lot higher, a lot smarter than me. So it says here that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in verse 4, I want to jump back to that in John chapter 1. Now, in him, that is in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. His life and what he did is the light of men by which we can live by and have eternal life. Now listen to this part. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The darkness could not overtake the light. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Though the darkness tried very desperately to take out Jesus through many different ways, could not. The light is much stronger than the darkness. Jesus said in John 8:12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, that's why we can confidently say we're going to heaven. It's not boasting. It's not being cocky. And how can you say you're going to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ? Because he said it. The scriptures clearly say this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God the Father, he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin in your behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there's the big exchange. He came to earth, the light, to take my sins in order to give me his righteousness. Someone say amen. Amen. That's the gift of God. Can anyone think of that? Did anyone come up with this story? Come on. This is God's story. This is true. So you could say I'm righteous not because I'm doing everything right, but because I accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. I accepted his offer. And many people say, nah, I'm okay. Ooh, boy. I don't want to think of hell. But those who reject him, they have opportunities. There was an interesting story that I read one time. And it was about this man during the Civil War. Someone put in requests to the president that he be pardoned from being hung for whatever reason he was going to be hung. And yet, with that pardon, when they approached this prisoner, he rejected the pardon. And he said, no, I'm going to get what I deserve. And so the question was, though the president gave him a pardon, he'll still get his wish. If he wants to die, the pardon is no good. And that's how it is with God pardoning you and I. If you reject it, that's on you. But you cannot be forced to take it, but only to receive it and say, I'm a sinner. I'll take it, Lord. And you know what? it's not like a big exchange on your part, because when you live in this world and you've been part of this world, we did a lot of dirty things. I don't know. I know you did too, because I know I did. And I know we're all saying. Sometimes we don't see it as clearly, though, unless the Lord shows you that, listen, you know, you're a sinner too, and you need my forgiveness. But he said, those who have this light will not walk in darkness. It's a dark world. He also said in Matthew 14:16, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The world is sitting in the shadow of death. You're going to die. Everyone is. But the light of the world came. You know what Christmas is? That's why Christ came, not just for presents and what have you. That's all good. But unto you a Savior is born, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. I like the story when Paul was in prison and he was taken before King Agrippa and Festus. How would you like to have a name like that, huh? I don't know. Festus, get over here. Anyway, so he was brought before these two people. King Agrippa said that he was bringing Gentiles into the temple, and he wasn't. And so they put him in prison to save his life. And anyway, so now he's in prison for a while. And King Agrippa said, I need to hear what his story is. Let's see if he's guilty or not. And so Paul gives his testimony of how he was saved. And I'm not going to go into that detail. But the bottom line is, this is what Paul said. God sent me to open the eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This is what God spoke to Paul, and Paul is reiterating that. That they may turn from darkness and the domain of Satan. Before you came to Christ, you were under Satan's domain. You think you were free. That's how he gets people believing. Like, don't believe in me anymore. You know, I'm not, you know, that's for old school. There's no devil. There's no serpent. Ah, he is so slick. And he gets people thinking, oh, I'm okay. This Jesus, the weak can take him. That's what he puts in people's mind. That's what you get taught in these schools today and everything. He's a master at deception. But Paul was saying here to take people from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. It's not just forgiveness. Sisters, brothers, let me tell you something. The glory that God is going to put on us as his sons and daughters, you cannot compare. You are so unworthy, and I am so unworthy. But it's not just having your sins forgiven and having the peace of God and having the assurance that you're going to heaven, but it's knowing that what's up there in heaven is beyond what you can. No mind has heard or ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love him. We have glimpses, but I can't go into all of that now. But it's worthwhile to step out of that darkness and come to Christ and to walk in the light. You have a choice now. When I came to Christ, I came because I knew darkness had the wages of sin with death. And I came to that conclusion that living my life in the freedom I thought I had, and you might think the same thing, oh, I'm rich, I got a family, or maybe I'm this or I'm that, whatever it may be. And finally, if you're real with yourself, or if God brings you to a place, you say, where's this all getting me? It's all empty. Vanity is a vanity. It's all empty. What is this? The man who dies with the most toys wins? Is that it? And so when we come to Christ, and when I came to Christ, I recognize there's a devil out there. I see it clearly. I hope you do too. I don't see a devil under every rock, but he sets you up, church. He's out there and he's looking to get you as a roaring lion or as a sneaky serpent. He's looking to keep you blinded so he can take you right to hell with him. So I seen that living in darkness in my own world, doing my own thing, it was nothing. It was death. And the next step was death. I gave my heart to Christ. And by his grace, he has kept me over 40 years. By his grace. As he'll keep every single one of us. By his grace. Darkness, I don't want to live in it. There's a message that God has given me, and he's given all of us, to proclaim salvation through Christ. Because there's a blind world going down to hell, and they don't know it, but he's made you and me his messengers to tell people. So he continues here by saying this, Paul. After Paul replied, King Agrippa said, in a short time, Paul, you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would wish to God that whether in a short or long term, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. So as he was giving his testimony, Agrippa was saying, Paul, boy, you persuade me, you keep on going. And Paul said, you know, King Agrippa, I wish you would be persuaded and become like me, except for these chains, knowing he was in prison. The Bible tells me this, that the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but he's patient toward all, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is looking at your life and saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. I don't want that no more. I don't want to do that no more. And then you start taking another direction. You were going this way, and you look back and you say, what is this all about? Is this it? Because things get better. It's a funny thing, but when you start repenting and wanting to do the right thing, the devil steps up his game a little bit. An old flame calls you up. An old boyfriend calls you up. All of a sudden, you got an opportunity to make a little bit more money. You see, he wants to get you off track because you just decided that way is not happening, so he ups the ante a little bit. And he gets many a people that way if you're not sincere. But I don't care. The devil can't buy me off, and I pray he can't buy you off because that's what he's doing. He's trying to buy your soul. Some people sell their soul for fame, fortune, whatever it may be. What a cheap price they sell their souls for, because now they spend eternity with the devil in hell. He's their king. Darkness. Forget it. You don't want that. But the Lord is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Turn the other way. I want to follow you, Lord. You're the light. I walk with you. I don't fall into darkness. I'm not going to be zapped. I'm not going to be taken over. I'm not going to be, well, what's going on? You know what's going on in this world. Can't you see the puppets? The devil is behind all of this. Don't you see that? But God is saying that will happen before I come back. And when you see these things occurring, look up, because your redemption is near. So there's a warning there for the people of light. Don't get spooked by it. It's got to happen. In fact, check this out, and I'll move on here. Has anti-Semitism risen? I mean, come on. They said it risen 370%. Anti-Semitism, the Jews, people protesting, people wanting to destroy Israel as a country. This is not just about, you've heard the expression from the sea to the river. What does that mean? That means to wipe them out. From the river is the Jordan River in Israel to the sea is the Mediterranean. And you can't go no further. So it says, you know, wipe them out. Get rid of the Jew. And so many people that in their heart they were anti-Semitic is now given momentum. It's like a snowball going down a hill. People just getting on. And what really is in their heart is coming out. But if you're a believer in Christ, you got to love the Jew. Those were God's people. He gave the oracles of God. God gave the oracles to the Jewish people to come to us, the Gentile. So this is going to occur, he says. In fact, it says there's going to be such a time, it's called Jacob's trouble, there's going to be such a time that all the nations of the world, Jerusalem will be a stumbling stone for all the nations. Anti-Semitism is going to grow even where the United States. You've heard in the UN the other day. The UN, forget the UN. The UN is not, they want to control you and everything else. They tried to make a resolution for a permanent ceasefire in Israel. So what does that mean? That means Hamas will live, and as they said themselves, they will live to kill Israel again. There's no repentance. Their idea is that Israel has to be destroyed. And that's how it is with other countries as well. Except the United States was the only country that didn't sign that resolution. But there's going to be a day in the future when we will turn our back on Israel. And then all of hell breaks loose. But for now, pray for Israel. Pray for the Jew. Pray for Hamas. You're not in hell until you die. But they have to repent of their sins, both personally and outwardly. The Palestinians, who are just their fodder to protect them, they don't care if they die, their own kind. The Palestinians need to ask Christ into their life too. I can't tell them. I can't convince them. The Holy Spirit can, but you can by prayer. So it's not like we're prejudiced against the people of Hamas or even the Palestinians or the Jewish people. We all need Christ. But you got to discern, too, what's right and what's wrong. Now, that's for free. So where do we go from here? Christmas is good news. Christmas is good news. Do you know the word gospel means good news? Did you know that? That's what it means. In Greek, it means the gospel. So an angel said to them in Luke 2:10, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Good news. That's what Christmas morning is. A Savior of all men. As Jodeci was saying, enjoy the holiday, of course. But don't say happy holiday. Say Merry Christmas. Because the word Christmas still has the word Christ in it. You don't get wokeism in your life and say, oh, we don't want to offend people. Hey, listen. Jesus offended many people. Either you follow or you didn't. But Christmas is about a Savior, and that might give you an opportunity to tell people about Christ and about their sins need to be forgiven because God loves them. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, it tells us about that we're the Lord's bondservants to preach the gospel, to tell people the good news. He says, "Yet with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses," now hear this, "and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." When a person isn't saved, they're held captive. They don't even know it. Some do, some don't. Some are Satan worshippers. Hey, I'm a captive of Satan. Yeah. But others, they're just blindly following the world, following the culture, following the rhythm. This is not sin. There's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as God. That's all fake. And da 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 da. The devil has blinded their eyes, and they are held captive. But it says perhaps God will grant them repentance. If you bring the message to people, yet with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. You don't have to come with a big 10-pound King James Version and start banging people on the head. But your seeds that you drop, people will see, why is he different? Why does a person have assurance? They go on the head, what's up? And you might just say something very simple. Hey, you know, I love you, but I don't love the sin that you're living in. And what do you mean you don't love the sin? Well, you know, I'm not that way no more. You know, that's the old, I don't live that way. I got freedom now. Oh, you mean you're restricted? No, I have freedom. I got freedom to say no to sin now. And people who are living in it don't have that freedom yet. Well, I could stop anytime. Really? Try it. They can't. They need God to forgive them of their sins. But we, as his bondservants, have to bring the good news, even as the angel brought the good news. We have to tell people so that they can come to their senses. They may not. That's God's problem. But ours is to be responsible. Jesus said this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. Who's the thief? The thief is Satan, the devil. He's come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. That's not God. God wept over Israel, over Jerusalem, because judgment was coming. Oh, if only you would have recognized your time of visitation. But now judgment is coming, and people are that way too. Oh, Lord, I want my family saved. Can we say amen to that? You know, you say, well, you know, that's their... Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I pray, God, give me more compassion for the lost. I need to step up my game a little bit because these are the last days, and people are dying left and right. If you haven't noticed yet, people keep on dying, and it might be too late for someone. Before I was a preacher, when I was an iron worker, I would share with these Indians, and they didn't have feathers or nothing like that, but they were iron workers that came down from Canada. And this one, I remember him clearly. He'd be messed up on Monday. You see him downhearted, you see him depressed and everything, and I knew he had a weekend of drugs. And at that place, at that time, I would, hey, man, what's up? You know, I'd reach out to him and let him know, hey, you know, I used to be that way too. But God did something in me, and God will do something for you too. You can't change yourself. You need his deliverance. I don't know word for word how I said it, but every time on that Monday when he would come in depressed, I would bring hope. And then one day he didn't come in no more. What happened? Died. Overdosed. You don't know when a person's going to overdose. You don't know when a person's going to get hit by a car. I remember working with a guy who was working and he was, you know, doing something with the plank, and he was up a couple of stories with the plank, and he went to help someone else, and there wasn't a plank there. Woo! Went down. Ba-ba-ba-ba-boom! Hit his head. Now he was still alive, but he was mental. I remember his brother saying, I wish he would have died, because he would be screaming in the hospital in the middle of the night, brain damage. You just don't know. You don't know. So what's my deal here? The deal is this. Tell people while you still have breath, while they still have breath. Let them know Jesus loves them. Let them know that the devil has blinded them. Some way, somehow, tell them that you know you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. And that's what Christmas is, and that's an opportunity we have because Christmas is here. Amen? So we tell us this, that in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that what people want? People want eternal life. People are always trying with science. You know, they have this where rich people do, where they could put you under ice, super high ice. I don't know what they call it. What do they call that? What, hydro something. And they freeze you so much that it preserves you, hoping that in 100 years, 200 years, they'll be able to unfreeze this person and bring them back to life. And if you don't have that much money, you can just get your head froze. I guess they'll attach your head to another body. No, this is true. This is true. So people want eternal life. No one wants to die. Can I get an amen? No one wants to die. And the decay of it, the deterioration of it, it's sad. But Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And as we get older, and we will get older, if you got Christ, you got a lot more going for you than you think. You may suffer, but you're not going to suffer like the world suffers who doesn't know Christ. So what's the message? The message is accept Jesus Christ now while you have your breath. Because tomorrow's not promised to nobody. My favorite scripture when I first got saved, and it still is, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's the free gift. and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Isn't that interesting? Not of your works. Oh, I went to church every Sunday for 52 weeks. I crossed the senior citizen across the street. I gave my monies to the church, and that's all works. So don't I deserve to get in heaven? No. You'd have to be perfect, and no one is perfect except Jesus. But he'll give you his perfection if you accept him by faith. That's what grace is all about. And then it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship, listen up, it means poema. It means poem. You are like his poem. You know, a poem has rhythm to it, has beauty to it. You are his artistic poem. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. I was talking to a girl this morning. I talk to her every time I go to my Royal Crown Cappuccino morning, Sunday morning fix. And I get this bagel, toasted bagel, just telling you what it's at, you know, it shows. And I get this toasted bagel, lots of butter on it. And so as soon as I come in, it's already cooking. It's already there because they know me, right? And I made friends with this young lady. Hey, what's your name? She's behind the counter. Her name was Natalie. I said, oh, that's a pretty name. That's a different name, Natalie. How are you doing, Natalie? And she talks like this. She talks real low. Real low. And I got bad hearing as this. So I'm stretching, and I got this bulletproof, you know, thing in front. So I'm this, trying to. So I'm listening. I said, can you speak a little louder? And she speaks a little louder. And I said, oh, okay. What are you going to school for? To be a lawyer. I said, oh, man, I hope she doesn't represent me because, you know, she'll be talking. You know, a lawyer has to speak strong and boldly. And I say to myself, I don't know if this is for her. So I said, okay, how you doing? And then the following week, I'm taking the test. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know, you got to practice talking loud out there if you're, you know, practicing loudness because that's what they're going to, you know, merit you on besides what you know. And so did you take the test? Yeah, how'd you do? Well, they didn't tell me yet. I said, okay. I said, you know what? Sometimes we have a direction that we have to go in, and that's fine. You know, a boat in the water can move, but a boat on shore can't go nowhere. So I said, you're moving, trying to find where you fit. I said, but ask the Lord, ask God. I said, you know, I'm a pastor. I wasn't boasting. I just wanted her to know that what I'm trying to tell her is from God. And, oh, what church you go to? So I said to her, God knows the plan he has for you. He knows what's going to be perfect for you. Ask him to guide your steps on what is your profession going to be. What is your steps going to be? Ask him. I'm trying to point her to put her life in the hands of God rather than she said something like, you know, everything will fall into place. That's how it happens. Everything falls into place. Yeah. Sometimes in the wrong place. But I said, ask God. So again, I asked her this week, you know, no, they didn't give me back, not an answer yet. I said, okay. I said, remember, talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Because in my opinion, she wouldn't make a good lawyer because of her meekness. I said, you have a gentle spirit. And when you get into that field, you know, they're aggressive, they lie, this and that, da, da, da. I said, but you have a gentle spirit. But I didn't tell her to get out of it because, you know, you have to find this out for yourself. But I just said, you know, God has a plan for you. Ask the Lord. So back to what I said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared for us beforehand. What does God have prepared for you? You may say, oh, I'm for this and that, maybe. But God has a plan. Can I get an amen? I want to know what his plan is because that's the best plan. You may want to be this, you may want to be that, and that's okay. But when you ask God, what is your plan for me, and you're open to it and you're surrendered to it, that is peace of mind. And that's what God wants you to get. See, I get an amen from that. That's good. You guys can scream a little too. I won't put you back. Don't worry about it. It's okay. So we're coming to a close. I get it. So what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15:10? For by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. Labor what? Labor for souls. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I can say that about me. I hope you can say that about yourself without trying to beat yourself up. You are what you are. Oh, I wish I was a boy. I wish I was a girl. Oh, I wish I had better looks. I wish I was taller. I wish I was lighter. Listen, God is not impressed with any of that stuff. God wants you for your heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. And so if you just say, God, what do you want? Here I am with my warts and with anything else. All I got is all I am not and whatever it is. But I belong to you. I'm washed in the blood of Christ. I'm born again. I'm accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. You can now walk with your shoulders back. That's how it works. I am what I am by the grace of God. I know that expression came from Popeye, but he didn't say, but by the grace of God. He didn't say by the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God. And I close with this last scripture verse. In Romans 5, verse 5. Well, one more after this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was ungodly. He died for you. If you were ungodly, if you could admit you were ungodly and you need forgiveness, he died for you. But if you think you're good, he didn't die for you. You rejected it. But it says he died for the ungodly and for the helpless at the right time. So God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you got better. He didn't wait for you to get clean. He died for you at your worst. And if he died for you at your worst and he spared not his son at your worst, how much more freely will he give you when you belong to him? This is the goodness of God. Amen. So here is the mandate for all of us. Christmas, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Since the love of God controls us, you've been washed by his unconditional love, not because you're a good person, a great person, but you are what you are by the grace of God. If you can say that, Lord, thank you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that he died for all. Therefore, all died. I died. My old life is gone. The darkness, I don't want that no more. That's dead. Forget him. And he, God, Jesus, died for all so that they, that's us, who live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's sacrificial love. At the beginning, I mentioned about the woman who sold her hair in order to buy her husband a chain for his pocket watch. And while she was doing that, he sold his pocket watch to buy her combs for her hair. The sacrifice of love. Jesus left the glories of heaven, sacrificed for you and for me. What kind of love is this? It's beyond. But you can reject it. A pardon can be rejected, and you'll pay your price, as that Civil War soldier did. He was hung. Or you can accept it and know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he's got eternal life. You can step out of darkness, living your old life the way you always used to live it, and say, no, I'm following the light. Jesus is the light. Darkness cannot overtake you. When you have the light of Jesus, the devil can't touch you. Oh, he'll try to harass you. And if you're on the verge of accepting Christ, or if you just did, oh, he'll put some temptations in front of you. He'll give you a bigger pay. He'll give you that woman, that man, or whatever you think. Oh, he'll up the ante. He'll up the ante. And then many people walk away at that point. Okay, God, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, not now. Please don't. Jesus died for your sins so that you can go to heaven. So as the worship team comes up here,